Welcome to the NOC review from the 22nd C3 event in the BCC. My name is Stefan Voy, Sebastian Wagner, Werner, sorry. he's also known as Blackwing, and normally I call him Blackwing. So no, it's not Darkwing, it's Blackwing. Welcome all who joined us for a good hour. The talk itself will have about 40 minutes, and if there's any questions, suggestions, they are welcome. Ask during the presentation if something is not clear or you want to have some more information. First thing to start, we are only two people standing here. NOC itself has 16 people working on it. Some of them are in the auditorium, some standing on the side. We're very international, very European this year. We have lots of people from Amsterdam working in the NOC, and we have people coming from the US helping us with the wireless network. Thank you very much, and thanks for all the work you have done for us. Before we start, one question, and this is the thing which we ask us too, because we didn't get any feedback from the help desk we have invented this year, and they have said that they don't have much work to do this year. Are you happy with the network? Yeah. Raise your hand, please. That's good to hear. After the last years, we have made quite some changes here, and let me begin with the agenda. We have a few points here. First, a recall of the 21st C3 from the last year. A technical requirements we have formulated for this year's event. Uplink topology, network topology, traffic statistics, anomalies, and an outlook for the next year. There are some ideas what we could do better and some things we haven't implemented this year. And let's start with the first sketches. We have had unforeseen hardware problems last year. Let's call it the other state with some of the equipment we have had. And some of these problems came from late delivery of the equipment itself. Some of this equipment was broken. And lots of people have had lots of problems with the wireless equipment. It was one of the main problems last year. And we have a lot of problems with the high traffic load between the different levels of the building. Therefore, the decision was made, look for sponsors which can supply us with enough LAN hardware this year, very early. There were good talks there, and our last sketch will show us all the sponsors. I want to not to bore you with these stuff right now. In-house LAN working, but very late. I think it was the 28th of December where we could say that it worked actually. Uplink worked quite well. It was implemented 2 weeks before the start of the event. It's around 600 megabit last year. And some, as most of you you'll know from the last talk from last year. As I said before, wireless LAN was suboptimal. And one of the biggest problems last year was that you were not informed. We have worked on the network, and nobody knows what we are doing actually on the network. We tried to make it better this year, and as a summary of the last year, it worked, but it was not good. This is the setup we have had last year. You see the different levels. It's from A is the tech center up to the D level, this magic D level at conference room 1, the gallery up there. We have installed there in the A and the D level the core switches. It's the same thing this year, but Sebastian will talk about later. And we have some stuff from Cisco there, switches in the B and C level. Missing here is the wireless LAN. Some people say it wasn't there. Okay, 77 VLANs, multi-gigabit backbone, and we have over 3,400 DHCP leases. I have also heard numbers of about 4,000 DHCP leases last year. This correlates very good with the number of people visiting us last year. I think I've heard numbers of about 3,500 people being here. 3,400 DHCP leases means everybody has a laptop or a device with a MAC address. Okay. What we tried to implement this year, where that we have high bandwidth in the whole building. In every outlet, you should get a minimum of a 100 megabit port. Actually, you get gigabit ports at every copper port in the building. And the VLAN, especially for the lecture rooms, should work. And we have tried to make a very simple and redundant setup, which we can control. No fancy stuff, no beta releases from vendors. Still, they're interesting to see this, how it works, this hacker community, and a lot of small packages doing nasty things on the boxes. And one thing we missed last year was native IPv6 connectivity. And we have done IPv6 this year right from the start. Maybe a little bit fakey after the IPv6 tutorial in room 4, I think, yesterday. Some of you tried it very hard to break it. Okay.
Okay, let's switch. Okay. In-house this year, we have a 10 gigabit backbone, and this means this should be enough bandwidth for everyone. And we tried again to make many small layer 2 domains, meaning that you have less broadcast, less ARP traffic in all the networks. And of course, we need then inter-VLAN routing and switching, because from one network to another, you need connectivity. And so, of course, we need switching and routing devices, of course. And also, we got multiple internet uplink providers providing us bandwidth, a huge amount of bandwidth. I mean, it's just more than entire Africa has, and so, okay. And yeah, another new thing is we got a new wireless LAN solution, but I will talk about that later. And we got hardware from various hardware vendors. So let's get to the in-house LAN. What we did there is we have for the access layer where you all plug in, it's a Hewlett Packard 3400 CL switches having 48 gigabit ports. And they are all linked with 2 gigabit trunks to the HP aggregation layer switches. These do these just connect together all the access layer switches, and finally they are linked to the 10 gigabit backbone having Foundry Big Iron and HP 94SL hardware. The interconnection between these backbone devices, these HP and Foundry, is done via fiber links. The routing, the inter VLAN routing, is actually done by these big HP 94. This is what it looks like. You see, the cabling is, let's say, a little bit improvised and so not perfect, but it actually works. What you can see in the right-hand picture is that there are the two fiber links, and these are the two 10 gigabit links. This is what the network actually is built from. You can see in the top level, D57, as last year, there's the main interconnection switch. Then you have the then you have for every connection room you have two distribution switches. The as I talked about the HP53, and down in the hack center at A85 you have another inter VLAN routing switch. On the right side you can see in 87 there is all the uplink hardware. We will talk about that later. So this is good a bridge for getting to the uplink, because the question is, how do we route in the local network? Many people asked us last year what exactly we did, and so this slide is for those people. All routers we have, as you can see, speak OSPF for the connected networks. So we distribute every subnet we have into OSPF and get therefore local routing information. But all the external routes from the internet get in via BGP from different providers. As you can see, we get the external routes. They get to all the routing devices. And so the routing decision, what is your next hop in routing, is done by your inter VLAN switch, your first hop. Okay, let's come to the internet uplink.
It's a part I've done. It's quite difficult to get 20 gigabits of traffic, and it's not actually 20 gigabits. Some people told you that we have such a big bandwidth. It's true, if you look at the entrance to the building, we have two dark fiber connections, each with 10 gigabit. We are collecting, in sum, about 15 to 16 megabits traffic, but normally you can use from this 3 to 4 gigabit traffic. Actually, if you look at the aggregation of the routes, you did not get 10 gig out of it. What you have to do there, a way of socializing with carriers, a lot of events since January of last year, which I joined, like RIPE meeting and D6 meetings. So there's a lot of fun there. Somebody goes there, joins them. There are lots of interesting people running around. The second thing you have to do is to explain them that hackers are not evil. There are a lot of informations in the network, in call it Google, where they say that these events that they're actually hacking. I want to remember the last year's event. I think was one of the Berlin providers, which has his. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think he has his password list on the website for downloading. Afterwards, he was a little pissed. Sorry. So there's some bureaucratic stuff. One of the providers has one piece of paper. I took a pen and signed and said, okay, that's a 1 gig gigabit link. Another one sent me 30 pages. Each has to be signed and two copies sent back to Frankfurt. They spun out a little bit less. What we have also said is there are many people which work for us at the carrier side, and normally they have children, they want to go home, they want to have Christmas. Therefore, the uplink itself is set up before the event. We have this year the first IP uplink 1 week before the event starts, because during 23rd, 24th, 25th, 26th of December, you won't get anybody in second-level support helping you if your BGP sessions are crashing or flapping. So as I said before, to uplink fibers, we can make this short. I've told you a lot of these things in advance. Enlighted with 10 gigabit. One link was possible to use with 10 gigabit because with the help of the people from Holland. And we have on one link the company called Versatel. Most of you know their DSL provider in Berlin, working all over Germany. They supplied us with a native 10 gigabit link to their routing gear at the other end, and the rest of the second link was used to aggregate the different uplink providers. We have put all the uplink routers, it's a little bit different from the last year, we put the routers outside of the building and collected the traffic. The reason was that we tried to make a little bit of traffic shaping. There were only 1 gigabit link coming to the building, and some problem with the traffic, as you have seen, 600 megabit wasn't actually a problem last year, but we didn't know in advance so that we can shape traffic before it goes onto the fiber to the building. This year we have enough bandwidth to push all the traffic to the building. Therefore, there was a secret room in the last corner of the building. That was an A87 that's behind the Hexen room. There were a whole pile of equipment which terminates all the IP uplink. So you can say the BCC is some kind of co-location facility. Should have brought more servers. Okay, VLAN trunking. We have put all the things in Ethernet layer 2. There are no not equipment like POSIP or SDH equipment. Most of the providers didn't use it anymore. Most of the people have now Ethernet equipment connecting all the IP uplinks over these boxes. So this is a more detailed picture from the left to the right. On the left side, you see the Versatel link with 10 gigabits terminating at Gardestrasse 40, the co-location facility of Versatel. And then we have the foundry boxes getting all the traffic from different vendors, as you see, from Lützowstrasse, Netzeinkoach, and dehosting. And we have also a second link to another co-location facility in Berlin called Albion Contour, where we have another gigbit sponsored by another company, where we have KPN, Eurorings, and Telia Sonera. Welcome to them, KPN, some of you who joined the camp, I think 3 years ago in at Landsberg, know that we have some sketches where KPN was in, but this year we made it actually, we have connected them. There's a link going to Felten, it's the longest link, 35 kilometers, it's outside of Berlin where the core routers are put. Then we use the dark fiber connection from Versatel getting to a foundry, and then both Juniper boxes terminating the sessions. So in-house network looks then connected from these points. You can say that all the networking, what's not inside this picture, is that the false 10 is also connected to the foundry box. Okay, and it looks like this. When you look at the top, the blue boxes, this is Juniper, this is two M7i boxes. In between, there's a buffer, this is a Cisco switch, mainly used for, not disturbing the foundry box. It's not a physical firewall. It's some kind of, we have their management VLANs on. FOS 10 box is a black one with a lot of fiber optic cables in front of the box itself so that you can hardly see it. And down there we have a FOS 10 box in EtherScale architecture which terminates the Versatel BGP sessions. So, as said before, we have some kind of a problem. If you look at the different bandwidths, 10 gig, 1 gig, 100 megabit uplinks, if you have such a mixture of bandwidths, you have to do a little bit of traffic engineering.
So, anybody ever heard about traffic engineering and what this is? Not so many people. Okay, I'll just give you a short introduction. Traffic engineering means that you set certain preferences, what route should be taken into account. Because if you have several providers giving you a full routing table of the whole internet, it's not so easy to find out which is the best way. Because BGP is a path vector protocol, that means a route is selected on its length. If a route gets through, let's say, 10 providers, and you have another route, to the same destination, having just two providers in between, the route with the two providers in between is selected. But sometimes this link is not faster than the other one. And so we need to decide what is better. And we got a strategy this time that we do the balancing via setting a local preference at our outbound routers. And we said, hey, if the IP is directly connected to our peers, this is definitely the best way. And so they get the highest local preference. If it's a direct peer of one of our peers, we assign him a medium preference of 200. But Versatel has a very big link of 10 gigabits, and so their direct peers get a preference of 300. So they are preferred. And then there are some special paths. We know that they are pretty good. Like in Berlin, dehosting directly connects via B6 to DFN and some other Berlin providers, and so we prefer the path getting in via dehosting. We prefer them over any other route like the ones we got from KPN or stuff like this. And the local preference, of course, is only for the outbound traffic, but we want also to engineer a little bit about the inbound traffic. But engineering inbound traffic is, let's say, way more difficult because, of course, it's a distance vector protocol, and the only way you can do stuff like this is by announcing your own autonomous system number, let's say, twice. And so the pass gets longer to this provider, and so this is the way how you select the inbound traffic. I'll show you, probably some of you saw this site. I'll show you. Oops, sir. That's so wichtig. Okay, this is how it works. See, this is the traffic for the different uplink providers. Here you can see this is Versatel, and it gets about 500 megabits of outbound traffic and not so much inbound traffic. Although KPN gets a lot of inbound traffic, but let's say only 100 megabits of outbound traffic. Telia gets, let's say, the same in and outbound bandwidth. And Cogent is also selected for outbound traffic. This is and the inbound traffic gets less calls we prepended our network twice, as I said before. And so this path gets, let's say, a little worse than the path than Telia and all the others. Finally, we got dehosting. Dehosting gets the Berlin traffic, and so you can see it has a lot of in and outbound traffic. As we mentioned in the first slides, we also have IPv6, and so we have several IPv6 peerings. We got traffic from KPN, Freenet, and dehosting. And as you see, the IPv6 traffic is not so much than the IPv4 traffic. So next time, also use IPv6. Okay, then let's get to the wireless LAN. I think the wireless LAN is better, and we can just say it worked. Not perfect, but it worked. And so I think we should get someone a special applause, because it's Mac who took a lot of effort into building the wireless LAN. Okay, let's get to the technical details. This year we got a complete solution from Aruba Networks. And this is a kind of centralized VLAN switching architecture with an intelligent controller to the access points. This equipment actually worked at the hacker conferences in the United States, namely DEF CON and Black Hat, for the ABG. And here it worked also. The idea of this centralized wireless LAN switching is that it does active defense and detection of rogue and fake access points. It detects man-in-the-middle attacks and fights ad hoc networks. Yeah, and the special features of this hardware is, as you can see in the map, you can see actually the transmit power for different, the calculated transmit power for different areas of the building. You have this nice a planning tool where you can put in a map of the building and you sketch into the access points, and of course you have to calibrate it, and then it gets you these heat maps. This is pretty cool for triangulating rogue access points, but as you know, when triangulation works for access points, it works also for users, and so it's not probably perfect, okay? The conclusion is it works, and we had a daylight average of about 350 users, 130 at the night, and the user peak was 509.
There's something funny I want to say about the rogue access point detection.
Come on, Rob.
The FriPhone people were actually firing up route access points every once in a while, and while they were flashing them, they couldn't prevent them from going to certain channels like channel 1 or channel 11, depending on the access point. And we got to the point where it was so well calibrated that I could actually tell which side of the table it was on from this graph, and we could actually call the people up and say, you have a rogue access point again. And it got to the point where it got scary. It's like,
Okay, then let's present some statistics. We had actually 2,342 network ports. That's no joke. We had 40 separated virtual LANs, VLANs, and of course we had 40 subnets. These were subnets with prefixes of /20 or /24. This one is just an example of one of the traffic graphs from the 10 gigabit link from A to D. And you see, it's a reasonable amount of traffic. As we published before, you can see all the detailed stats at the management side. The URL is at the bottom, if you're interested in. For uplink traffic, we got an average of about 802 megabits out and about 230 megabits inbound. This is a huge amount. It sums up to a cumulated traffic of about 40 terabytes outbound traffic in 4 days and about 10 terabytes inbound traffic. The peak, the 5-minute peak of our uplink was about 1.3 gigabits, which is a lot. I showed you before the traffic distribution to the different peers. These are also on the network. You can access them through the URL down at the bottom. Of course, we had some anomalies, because in no case this works just perfect when you build up a network. And we had a lot of fun analyzing the channeling and trunking of, or in Linux it's called bonding, of different Ethernet devices. So you take 2 gigabit devices and you form a trunk, and then you have a virtual bandwidth of 2 gigabit over this link. And there were some negotiation problems between different devices from HP and some other vendors. Also, we had a Mac. We found out about Mac aging time bug in the big HPs, which actually opened the case at Hewlett Packard. And today, some people from United States and France phoned us just to verify what happened and to get more details. So the guys at HP working on a solution for this problem. On the first day, the forwarding engine of one of our upstream routers died. This routing engine was just rebooting, and it was not working anymore. But we had a spare Juniper router, and so we can just plug in the other one. And so it worked. We also had some denial of service attacks, but they were a lot less than last year. So probably the... Yeah. And maybe the hacker FX hotline worked this year. Maybe someone used it. I don't know. There were also some very funny defacements we saw, and we actually got some abuse calls, but I think there were less than 5 abuse calls, and so this is no problem. And, of course, we had many, many roach access points, but it was a lot of fun to localize them and to shut them down. Remotely shutting down, because you can do some de-auth attacks and stuff like this on these access points to shut them down. But this is just for ensuring that your wireless LAN works, and so... Okay.
So I have a quick look to the next year. What hardware to use, bigger or step back, same building on your wireless LAN and wired LAN, so much uplink, less effort. You see all these signs, use more bandwidth. And I think it's not a joke, we have a very potential sponsors here and they like to see traffic on the network. So we proved this year that we can build a network, a running network, which is capable of pushing gigabits of traffic. And if you have some nice projects for the next year, I've talked to the sponsors this year. They will supply us with the same equipment. Next year, we will also get all the uplinks we have this year. We will get the next year, too. So there will be another 10 gigabit link next year. There were some questions if you have 1.320 gigabit of traffic on the uplink itself, why to use 10 gigabit? It's a problem that in former times in SDA technology, you normally have steps like 622 megabits, then 2.5. They're smaller the steps. If you use 2 gigabit as traffic outside, there's only one step you can do, 1 gigabit, 10 gigabit. Because fiber optics in going to the building are limited, and therefore, even if 10 gigabits looks a lot of traffic you can use, if you have 1.5, it's important to have these 500 megabits more, and therefore we decided to use 10 gig next year too. Same building, a new one, there's some rumors, that maybe the building is too small or too big, and as far as I heard, there's a new decision, and that I would be delighted to be here in BCC again, because the infrastructure is well under control of these 16 people working for you, and therefore it would be a pleasure to see you all here again, and not in a different place where we have a lot of new equipment there and new cabling, and maybe also a lot of new problems. Wireless network, I think we cannot top it next year. We will not have 10 gigabit ports in the C, D, A, and D level. But maybe if somebody has his 10 gigabit line card on his server, maybe we can connect him directly. wireless LAN, I hope that we get Aruba next year or a competitor with the same equipment, with the same facilities. Pardon me. For which company you are working? No, I would be delighted to see Aruba again. It was a very great job you have done here, and you had to stay all the 4 days here and helped us is a really great thing, because it cost the company a lot of money and nobody knew in advance what we would do with this equipment. So, this is alphabetically. We are happy that we have so much sponsors, and we are happy that we have all these sponsors. There's no preference in the listing. We have done it alphabetically, starting with Aruba Networks, Cisco System, FOSS 10 Foundry, Hewlett-Packard, Uniper Networks, and for the uplink connectivity, I like to thank the Cogent Communications, D-Hosting, KPN, NetSign, Telia, Sonera, and Versatel. Thank you very much. Last thing, thanks for your attention. Questions or suggestions? People staying here, I think network will be up till Rob.
Yeah, a little bit about the teardown procedure. We'll be starting to get switches out of the hack center and sort of out of the outer rings fairly soon, pretty much right after this lecture. Please don't be too upset if people start removing your switch, even if it's still working, because we've learned from previous events that we have to roll equipment back in from the periphery while it's still on, because otherwise people start taking stuff home and all sorts of other bad things happen. So people will be with your switch and they will be packing it up and taking it home. Please don't beat these people up, but help them. And hope to see you all next year.
So, officially close this session. Seeing you next year, and bring more equipment, please.